Good morning. We welcome everyone here this morning. It's good to see everyone here. You know, as he was talking about the van, I thought, well, that goes a little bit along with what I had to share this morning. But if he would spend the money and buy a wheel cover for it and wax it and polish it and make it look all nice, he could set it out by the road and people would think it's a really good vehicle. And just putting a good clean finish on the outside doesn't really make it a good vehicle. It just looks like it. This morning, I feel like I have there's a lot of scriptures to read. And I invite your attention to Numbers 22. You can turn there. In 1967, there was a 24-year-old American Airlines stewardess that was making plans for her wedding. And they were making plans for this wedding, and she was all enthused about it, and he was not so enthused about it. And he made this statement here to this girl that was excited about a wedding. He says, "I'm not who you think I am. I am a fraud, a check swindler, and a crook." She thought she was getting married to a pilot, and he says, "I am not a pilot, and I'm not 30 years old." So these words were spoken by a man named Frank W. Abagnale Jr. And he impersonated one of his guises was he would impersonate a Pan American pilot. And he was able to swindle banks and airport businesses out of a tremendous amount of money from the ages of 16 to 20 years old. But he was a professional swindler. This lady thought she was marrying a 30-year-old upstanding citizen, and he, in a rare moment of truth, was saying that he was not. He was, in reality, only a 19-year-old impersonator. The question is, who are we this morning? Do we look like somebody that we are not? Who are we? Are you the person you say you are? Am I the person that I say I am? And under scrutiny, if the chips are down and I am under test, does my character stand? Is my reputation a genuine representation of who I am? This morning I'd like to talk about Balaam, the wise fool. And Balaam is he's a man that people love to discuss sometimes. But Balaam is a fascinating individual. And so in Numbers 22, here's where all my reading comes in, because it all ties together here. But we're just going to read we're going to read quite a few of these verses here. So, Numbers 22, verse 1. It says, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho." Actually, they had just got done wiping out the kings two kings, Sihon and Og, because they wouldn't let them pass through. And it wasn't enough to say, no, you can't go through our country, but they had to go fight them. And in the meantime, they got wiped out. And so the king of Moab was in a desperate situation, and he wanted to fix this problem. So, verse 2, and Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up early, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam, and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. So he's in a real narrow spot. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill you. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I'll go back again. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, Did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said to Balak, Lo, I am come to thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they come unto Kirjath-Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam, and brought him up to the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Just think about where they're offering these sacrifices here. And Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said to Balak, Stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure, the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, Return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come curse Jacob and defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said to Balaam, What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed him altogether. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said to him again, Come, I pray thee, with me to another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from there. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said to Balak, Stand here by thy burnt offering, while I meet the Lord yonder. The Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, Go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, What hath the Lord spoken? And he took his parable and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey, and drink the blood of the slain. And Balak said to Balaam, "Neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all." But Balaam answered and said to Balak, "Told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do?" And Balak said to Balaam, "Come, I pray thee, I will bring thee to another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor, and that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said to Balak, "Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Let's go into 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, "Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel! As the valleys are, they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of line aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with arrows. With his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee." Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, "I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these 3 times. Therefore, now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee to great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor." And Balaam said to Balak, "Spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sentest to me? If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own hand. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go to my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do. To thy people in the latter days." And he took up his parable and said, "Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said that which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now." This is a prophecy of Christ. "I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth." And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, "Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever." And he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, "Strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive." And he took up his parable and said, "Alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever." And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. And Israel abode in Chittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And in Numbers 31, verse 16, it says that, behold, Moses was recounting a little bit what happened. It said, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. That's the area they were at. There was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. So that's the story of Balaam, Balak and Balaam, and how things went down there. But let's back up and take a look at Balaam. Balaam had a reputation for having a connection with God. That's the reason that Balak called him in the first place. Balaam had that reputation. He was the man to call when you had a problem to figure out. He was the sage who could give you wise advice. And we all need wise advice at times. And Balaam was that man. Balaam was the one that you called when things got tough. And he could talk to God, and God would talk back to him and could give direction. He was known as a spiritual man. But in Balaam's character, if we look at Balaam's character, there's several things that we see there. One, his integrity. And Balaam was a man, his integrity seemed to go on vacation sometimes. When God said no, don't go, he came back to the men, the king's men, and he said, God won't let me go with you. God won't let me go. So, which that was true, but Balaam, he wanted to go. But when the people went back, they said that Balaam refused to come. Balaam was also when God did say, if the people come back again and ask you to go, then you go with them. And when they came back again, well, this was after they had come back the second time. He had gone to God again. And God said, if they come back, you can go with them. Well, the next morning, Balaam just got up and said, let's go. And went. His integrity wasn't real good. He was a man that focused on technicalities. He would, as long as he technically obeyed, he was good. And he felt that as long as he fulfilled what was asked of him, he could add additional activities on the side. So that was Balaam. His integrity was weak. Balaam was also a man who was selfish at heart. He was a manipulator. He was a player, one who tried to play both sides of the issue. He wanted to be God's man, and he also wanted to please this king. And his ethics were somewhat situational. Whenever it kind of depended on what was right, depending on where he was at. He wanted to please everybody, God, the king, the messengers that came. And he wanted to play this right so that he could also make all this money on the side. The desire to please everyone can lead to compromising one's morals and integrity. And Balaam definitely did that. He also was greedy, had a weakness for fame, attention, for the profit that he thought he was going to make in this deal. And his ego, he loved when people lifted up his ego, boosted his ego. And Balaam Balak, the king. When the king sent his men the first time, God said, don't go. Balaam said, okay, I can't go. God won't let me go. The next time they came, they were sent more important people. And there was more money involved. And there was more people and more important people. He felt honored that the king looked him up. He was disappointed that he couldn't go with the men. So he goes back to God and he says, they're here again. Can I go along? And God says, yes, if you go, if they ask you, then you go. And so Balaam didn't wait for them to ask. He just went. Another thing, Balaam had a temper that he couldn't control. These are just things that kind of stand out as we look at Balaam's character here. But Balaam had a temper that he couldn't control. When his donkey didn't cooperate, he hit it. He hit it one, twice, three times. Well, the last time, I would have probably done the same thing if it had fallen down on me. But he didn't. It didn't cooperate, and he yelled and carried on and threatened to kill it. Thankfully, he didn't have his sword with him, but he was just lost himself. His anger overcame his reason. And deceitfulness. He had some deceitfulness in him as well. He wasn't one to relay details accurately. But you know, as we look at Balaam's life here, and we look at our own life, I look at my life, I have the same potential to do the same things that Balaam did. And we all have that potential within us to do the same things that Balaam did. If a book was written or a story was written about our life, what would it look like? One that was unbiased, one that we didn't get to edit. It just happened. And it was open for everybody to see. What would it look like? Would we be known as people with a good reputation that secretly don't live up to that? Would we be known as somebody that has an anger problem, that loses reason at times? Would we be known as somebody that's a greedy person, that has a weakness for money, or a weakness for attention? We're greedy for attention. Would we be known as somebody that is greedy for all the attention, and we get jealous if somebody else gets that attention that we think we need, or that's ours? Or we get very upset if somebody gets credit that we feel we deserve. Are we selfish at heart? Are we deceitful? Do we slant stories in our favor or details in our favor that elevate us, elevate me? Do I edit happenings that I've been involved in? And I think we all probably have that tendency to do that because we're human. But do we do that? Do we edit the story to make us look always come out on top, or most of the time come out on top? Or come out the heroes? Are we obedient to instruction that is given us? So Balaam told Balak that when he came to Balak, he said, that he will only be able to say what God said. Only going to be able to say what God tells him to say. And Balak was so glad to see him that he agreed to that. But what was Balaam's sin? Do we read that Balaam actually disobeyed God in that? Did he not fulfill his end of the agreement? When Balaam went up there on the mountain, or the high place, where he could look out across and see the people, did he disobey God when God told him what to say? No, I don't think so. God told him what to say, and Balaam said it. They went to another place, looked out over the people, and they offered 7 cows and 7 sheep. God talked to Balaam again, said, say this. Did Balaam obey? Yes, Balaam obeyed. But what was Balaam's sin, aside from being there in the first place? Well, Balaam's problem was not that he didn't relay God's message accurately. But Balaam's problem was that he took his knowledge of God and shared that, and how God works, and shared that with the king, so that the king could seduce the children of Israel to sin, so that God would be forced to destroy them that way because of their sin. And it caused destruction to some people, but it didn't work quite the same way that Balaam did. But Balaam used his knowledge of God to get himself out of a jam. And if you think of the jam he was in, Balaam's up here on this pinnacle. They're able to see out across. I tend to think there's bluffs around there. He's by himself with a hysterical king on his hands, or very close to it. And there's people that are loyal to this king. And Balaam, God isn't giving Balaam an easy road. Balaam is just, he's got to say what God says, because he'll deal with God or he'll deal with the king, and he's not sure how to play both sides of the fence. So Balaam, he does what God says, but it doesn't exactly say what transpires between there. But in chapter 31, it says that Balaam's counsel caused them to do this. So I take it that he would have said, well, here's what I had to say. God told me this, but I'll tell you, if you just do this, then it'll cause God to turn against his own people, and he'll destroy them for you. You won't have to do a thing. That's how he placated, that's how he kept Balak from doing him harm. But he used his knowledge of God to work against God's will. Do we ever do something like that? To use our knowledge of God to work against God's will? Or to do things, to give ourselves a pass? Have we ever been in a temptation, for example, where we badly want to do whatever this temptation is, and we think, well, we'll just do it, and then we'll ask for forgiveness afterwards? I hope we don't do that ever. But do we use knowledge of God to accomplish our own ends? Do we compromise our principles for selfish gain. Are we sometimes feel like we're in a jam where we know what we should do and we're in a position where other people, or maybe it's a government entity or something, we feel like if we have to, we can't please both of them, but we really want to please both of them. And so somewhere we're going to have to do something to, something's going to have to give. What gives when we're up against it? There are a couple verses in the New Testament that give some light on Balaam's attitude there. In 2 Peter 2:15 and 16, it says, it's talking about false teachers coming in and people that are that come to, they twist things, or they basically use their knowledge of God to work against God's will. But it just says, which have forsaken the right way. It's talking about those people. They've forsaken the right way, means they've known it at one time, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. So Balaam's love for the wages, or the kickback that he was going to get, was one reason that caused him to compromise his integrity, his character. In Jude 1:11, it's the same context. It says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Cori." And then in Revelations 2, verse 14, it's the Spirit speaking to the church at Pergamos. It says, "I have a few things against thee, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam." The doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. You know, that thing of teaching somebody or telling somebody with how to accomplish what it is they're asking without actually doing it, while technically Balaam himself did not commit the sin, Balaam was still credited with the responsibility for that sin of a stumbling block. And we can make the same error sometimes in maybe we're up against it, and in a business deal, for example, and we feel like we cannot use the law for our own purposes because of our non-resistant stance. But if we feel like we're in a corner, are we guiltless if we use other people to accomplish the same thing? Maybe not exactly. It's a little bit what Balaam did here, or it is what Balaam did. But he worked things out so other people would accomplish the process that would appease the king, that would get Balaam out of hot water. And do we do that? We would never outright cast a stumbling block to somebody. But do we use other people sometimes, or work circumstances out where they accomplish the thing that we cannot personally do for conviction's sake? That's some things that I have the potential to do in my life. And as my character, as faultless as I like to think that it is your character as faultless as you like to think that it is? Are there ways that I'm like Balaam? Just going down over that. Am I a person of integrity? Genuine integrity? Is there selfishness in my life? And this is coming from the premise that I put that my reputation is of a stellar pillar, a stellar Christian. So looking at the inside of a stellar front, how is the character? Am I a person of integrity? Is there selfishness in my life? Am I greedy? Am I deceitful? Do I have anger problems or situational ethics? Am I a manipulator? Do I work things out so that my ends can be accomplished, whether it's ethically or unethically? Do I add things to clear instructions that are given me to get me out of jams? So this morning I'd like to leave the challenge, or to challenge us, to be consistent and genuine in what we say we are, in how we say, who we say we are. To be faithful in what we know. Because at the end of time, there's going to be a judge, and we're going to come before the judge, and he will have access to the record that is unvarnished and unbiased. And I'd like for all of us to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Let's kneel for prayer.